This is message 4 of the Conference of a Church in Bangkok, October 2013. Verses are Psalm 123 and Psalm 124. Amen. Lord, our help comes from you. May you help us through your Spirit today, that you would open your word to us, that you would give us revelation and light. Our hearts are open towards you. Please speak to us. And may the Holy Spirit speak to all the churches. Amen. Actually, brothers and sisters, the entire Psalms all speak of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus said, from the Moses through the prophets, and especially in the Psalms were mentioned, they all speak of me. It's too wonderful. Without the Psalms, you will not understand the sufferings that our Lord Jesus went through. All that is spoken in the Psalms speak of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was incarnated, he became flesh. The Lord Jesus became a man. He was God, and yet he became a man. Although there was no sin in him, but his body was in the image of a sinful man. Don't think that he didn't have any problems. He had problems just like you and me. The only thing is that you surrendered, but he did not surrender. Do not think that his lips were different from your lips. He says, there were no problems with his lips, but oh, my lips are full of problems. Don't think this way. You're wrong. Hebrews chapter 5 proves to us he cried out with a loud voice to a God who could save him, and in tears cried out to God. But how about you and me? We really feel sorry for our flesh, and we just says, that's how we are. This is my background. I just be as I like, as I am, and I speak as I want to speak. Do not think that in the humanity of our Lord Jesus, there were no problems. He also went through all kinds and types of temptations. Do not think that he did not have any temptations. When he was hungry, the devil came to him. Do not think that the Lord Jesus would not feel hunger. The Lord also felt hungry. You are wrong. He was hungry too. But when he was hungry, he could go without eating. He could fast. How about you? If you don't eat a meal, you would be complaining. Even if you would not complain with your mouth, your stomach would be growling away. If it doesn't taste good, immediately you would say, oh no, it doesn't taste good, I don't want it. If you have something to eat, you should be thankful to the Lord. But if it doesn't taste good to you, you would start complaining out loud and say, I don't want it, I don't want it. We're all like this. From the time you were young until you grew up, you were spoiled. Doesn't taste good. No good. I don't want it. Do not think that our Lord Jesus did not have such experience. If he were not hungry, why would the devil come to him and tempt him and ask him to turn the stone into bread? He was a superman. He wouldn't get hungry. Then it would be useless for the devil to come and ask him to turn the stone into bread. But you are different. If you're hungry, you don't care about anything else, you just go eat. Of those who are seated here, does anyone fast and pray? Really so? Fast and pray. What do you pray about? Pray that your business will prosper? When you fast and pray, do you fast and pray for the kingdom? For all the saints? For God's will? That there would be peace in the church? Or that you yourself would change? Oh, Father, may you gain your glory in Bangkok. Have you prayed like this? Otherwise, why do you fast? Oh, just to lose weight? Your fasting is just to lose weight. The Lord Jesus fasted for the kingdom of the heavens. Brothers, those who are elders, you who are responsible ones, you need to fast and pray each week for the brothers and sisters, for the kingdom of the heavens, and ask for the sake of Jerusalem. As responsible brothers, if you do not pray, that's a sin. If the common brothers and sisters do not pray, it's still not a sin. But if the prophet Samuel did not pray, he said that was a sin. If you do not pray, how do you expect to help the brothers and sisters? If you do not fast and pray, how can you be strong in your spirit? How can you overcome your flesh? You cannot even overcome your stomach. Without eating a meal, you would feel, oh, I can't do anything anymore. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's come back to the subject. I'm not teaching you to fast today, but I just want to tell you that the humanity of our Lord Jesus, his human life was just like you and me, you and I. But he did not allow his lips to be loose. If the Lord Jesus would only lie once, then it would all have been over. Then there would be no salvation for us. Satan would then raise his flag and said, I won. But you and I, how many times have we lied? We speak things that are not accurate. and we criticize people loosely and we scold people loosely. Besides, there's deceit and we cheat others. Although you did that, you still do not repent, and yet you still think that you're so great. That's how we are. But our Lord is not like that. Do not think that the Lord is just very eloquent. No. He said it. The words that I speak, they are not my words. But what I heard the Father say, and that I speak. How about the fellowship in the churches today? Is that truly what the Father spoke? Or that we ourselves spoke so much in so many words? That is why the Psalms actually speak of our Lord Jesus. If you want to be a person who is fully pleasing to the Father, who can help you? If you do not ask and plead of this Father who sits in heaven, the Lord who sits in heaven, who is going to help you? That is why the Psalms speak of our Lord. Last night when we spoke about Psalm 122, it speaks of our Lord Jesus who loves the church. When he came, the zeal of the house of the Lord was burning in his heart. He was for the church daily. For the God's temple. It's my Father's house. Should be called a house of prayer. And you have turned it into a supermarket. To a place of buying and selling. I hate to see that the church would turn into a place where people just buy and sell. Where you're always talking about money and money. You lend money to me and how much money you give to me. Do you think that if the church is rich, that is a blessing of the Lord? You may be rich. But if the church is rich, it's a curse. So that your heart would change. It's not a spiritual blessing, but it's a blessing where you're counting money all the time. Oh, Father, if you truly love the church, you have to love the church according to the Father's love. The church is the house of the living God, the body of Christ, and it's a house of prayer, and it's God's kingdom. It's different from the kingdoms of this world. It's not built with authority, but it's built with love. The methods of this world are dead. And do not have life. The only method in the church is to build up the church with the reality of life. If you bring in man's hands, man's manipulation, man's methods, then the church will be dead. Just like your body. Once the bacteria, the virus comes in, then there will be trouble. You get sick and you're down and cannot stand up. And if you don't, and you aren't cured, and it gets serious, you may die. It's not simple. So many times we say that, oh, we know the church. I say, I'm sorry, you don't know the church. You may know some teachings, yet you don't know the church. God's church is too precious. It's God's kingdom. You cannot be loose. It's not Bangkok. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of Thailand. And you use a lot of manipulation in politics. If there is a toxin here in the church, then there will be problems. The Lord Jesus, the church is holy and it's righteous and it's glorious. It's a church of God. If you want to see the church, you have to see the church in this way. Do not be loose. Do not damage the church. So may the Lord open our eyes. So we need salvation. Oh Lord, you have to save me. Let's come back to the book of Hebrews. To give the brothers and sisters, especially the foreign saints, especially from Cambodia, to see how the Lord Jesus is here. Beginning in verse 7, in chapter 5. Christ, who in the days of his flesh praised the Lord aloud? Is that what it says? He praised God aloud? I heard many brothers and sisters praise the Lord aloud. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The ones from Germany, it's a hallelujah. Amen. For 40 years, I've been hearing this loud shouting of hallelujah and amens. I have not seen a brother and sister who was weeping and crying out loud because of her own situation, of her own condition. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Let's not talk about others. Perhaps, I don't know what you do in secret, in private, but you can testify to me. Have you done this in private? That you're crying out to the Lord in private. It says, Lord, I am no good. Have you done this? Now raise your hands. Show me if you have done this. Thank the Lord. Truly so. The Lord knows. Don't you need salvation? Even our Lord Jesus was like this. Don't you need this? Brother Chang, are we better than the Lord? We're much better than the Lord. We don't need to be crying out with vehement cries and tears. Do we cry out aloud in tears in our prayers? Who does it like this? Who is like this? Even our Lord Jesus had to be like this. And you don't need to be like this. We just teach people to, oh, live in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. What are you doing in your spirit? You're bullying others in your spirit? Are you in the spirit? You become so fierce. As a sister, you need. How about being a meek sister? If you're not meek, you need to cry and weep before the Lord. It says, Lord, change me. And as a brother, you're so fierce, you want to control this and that. You need to be weeping and crying to the Lord. We need salvation. Don't you need it? I need it. I truly need salvation. Have you gone before the Lord to tell the Lord, Lord, I can't make it. I'm no good. Can a man like me build up your church? Would you be any better than the Lord Jesus? Why could the Lord Jesus overcome when he was on this earth? It's not because he was God. He came to be a man. He didn't come to be God. Because he came to be a man, that's why he had to be like this, what this verse says. He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, verse 8, certainly he was a son of God. But yet, when he became a man, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He had to learn obedience. We are a rebellious people. We're not obedient. From the time we were very small, we were disobedient. The favorite word of a child is, no, I don't want to. Come, come, come. No. Come eat. No. No. The other day, my daughter told me that her youngest child only says one thing, is no, no. For everything, that's just a no. Who taught her that? When you were young, you would do that. And you won't do it now? When you were young, it was a very naive, a very childlike, no, no. And when you grow up, with your mouth, you say yes, and yet within you, it's a no. It's hypocritical. The young ones don't know how to be hypocrites. But when you grow up, you become a hypocrite. But it's still a no. Come, come, come serve. Fine, fine, fine. But inside you say, no, no, no. But outwardly you'll be smiling. Amen, amen. Why do you not do it yourself? Why do you tell me to do it? Inwardly, that's how you are. Outwardly you say, okay, okay. Isn't this the case? We are all like this. We're different from the Lord Jesus. We're different. That is why we need salvation. We need salvation. In Psalm 123, it says, Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. In the New Testament, it always tells us is to look away, look up to Jesus, lift up your eyes. There's no one that's worthy of your lifting up your eyes to. You have to learn to lift up your eyes to the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, you will be fooled. You'll be deceived by people. Only our Lord Jesus. He's worthy of our lifting up our eyes to Him. To follow Him. To look to Him. This is a further step in the growth of life. The entire Bible tells us to look, lift up our eyes to Jehovah, wait upon Him, trust in Him. Although we do have brothers and sisters in the Lord and in the church, and we thank the Lord for that. But no one can be compared to our Lord Jesus. You're a good brother? Thank the Lord. But I don't want to just look up to you. But I want to look up to our Lord Jesus. I have to go ask Him in all things and wait upon Him. Why do I speak like this? Because in the past 40 years, we rely on a brother. We rely on a brother to the extent that before he's even done speaking, we just take off and start doing things. We really follow man. The Lord can testify for me. The Lord is my witness. My wife can also be my witness. I don't care who tells me to do what. I always have to say to the person, give me a few days for me to pray. I don't care whether you're the big apostle or whatever you are, whoever you are. It's not that I do not respect you, but I'm sorry. There's still a higher authority above you. You're not the highest one. If you're higher, you may just be one head higher than myself. But there is a heavens above the heavens. You ask Toby. Oftentimes he would call me for fellowship. I would say to him, why do you fellowship with me? You should go ask. Go to the heavens. I'm not the boss. I'm just old, but I'm not the old boss. The boss is seated in the heavens. I cannot make decisions. Do you dare to be the Lord in the church? Do we not have the Lord? Go up. Ask Him. Ask Him. It's only in this way that you will not be fooled. It's truly so, brothers and sisters. It's not that I do not respect you. But we all need to respect our Lord Jesus Christ, who is on the throne today. The glory of the Lord in the book of Ezekiel is on the throne in the heavens. It doesn't mean to say that we do not listen to others anymore. It's not like this. It's not how it is. But that we all should get to know a Lord who sits in heaven. Just like what it says in Psalm 123. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. Not just kind of take a look, but look to the Lord our God until He has mercy on us. You have to be able to wait till He shows us His mercy. I was teaching my granddaughters to speak Chinese, and oftentimes I say a word to them, I say, wait. You know, children cannot wait. They just cannot wait. Truly so. They cannot wait. If they want something, it's right now. I want this right now. And I tell them, wait. No, now. Can you wait? After you pray, and then you want to get it right away the following day, you just cannot wait. You can't wait. You think you know how to wait today? Waiting is a suffering. You have made an appointment with a brother or sister, and they're 5 minutes late. You say, oh, how come they're late? And, you know, wait for 10 minutes, and you're really bothered. And you wait another 5 minutes, you just take off. The computer nowadays is very fast. You just press the button and it opens. If you go back to the old computers for it to boot up, oh, you wait so long, and you just forget about the old, you throw the old computer away and you buy a new one. We people just cannot wait. We don't know how to wait. If you wait and you can't wait anymore, you just go ahead and do it. You just go do it by faith. What kind of faith is that? If the Lord did not say the word and yet you do it, that's not by faith. Who are you believing in? You're believing in yourself. Otherwise you say you do it by faith. You have faith in whom? The master doesn't say something and you just go ahead and do it by yourself? Do it on your own? Do you want to hire a very, very capable servant at home? Without your telling them to do things, they just go ahead and do all kinds of things? A person who serves the Lord, who doesn't wait. Why does it say here that we have to look to the hand? You know that our hand speaks. Sometimes when our hand speaks, it's even stronger than our lips. Look at the policeman. He doesn't say anything, he just shows his hand. You know you have to wait. If you do not look to his hand, you'll be in trouble. He raises his hand here and he waves for the other party to move, and he stops you with this hand. His hand speaks a lot. right? His hand is very powerful. He would tell you, the German's index finger is very powerful. If they raise the index finger at you, you've got to watch out. You know, the children are very fearful. The German children are very, very fearful of this index finger. And they put it to the mouth. You put your finger to the mouth and they know to be quiet. The hand is for giving directions. The hand not only is used for directives, but it's also used for spanking. Do not think that the hand of our Lord is not a disciplining hand. Have you not been disciplined by the Lord? A person who has not been disciplined by the Lord will not fear God. That's why the German children know the cooking spoon. The cooking spoon is a wooden spoon used for cooking. It's about this long. It's made of wood. It looks like a spoon. They use it in cooking. But it is also used for disciplining children. You have to look at God's hands. Are you a person who looks to the hand of the Lord? The Lord says, don't do it. You don't do it. The Lord says, wait. You wait. It's a person who looks and lifts up his eyes to the Lord and waits upon him. We are all servants of the Lord. Whatever he wants to do, you do. Whatever he doesn't want to do, don't do it. You know, when our Lord Jesus was on this earth, that's exactly how he was. This verse is not talking about you. It's talking about the Lord. You are not such a person. I am not such a person. Whatever I do, I have to take a look to his hand to see how he directs you. We are loose. Whatever I want to do, I just do. Don't bother me and don't try to control me. Why do you want to do that? In the church, someone says a thing and you says, you can't control me. If you are like this to the brothers and sisters, definitely you would tell the Lord, says, Lord, you shouldn't be controlling me. But you just have a religious piety towards the Lord, but inwardly you just do whatever you please. A person who can be obedient to God would also be very easy for this person to listen and be obedient and to submit to the brothers. Do not deceive yourself. Do not deceive yourself. Learn, like what it says here. This is a further step in the growth of life. You not only want the Lord to come save you, but you also have learned to look to the Lord. And learn to submit to the Lord and be obedient to God's word and to look to his hand as the eyes of a servant. Are you a servant? We are all servants of the Lord. Are you a maid servant? Thank the Lord. The heart is meek, is soft, submissive, humble. The position of a servant is not very high. You know, brothers and sisters, we all look to the servant of the Lord. Oh, he's a servant of the Lord. Oh, you look up to, oh, this is a servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord up there. Then he becomes a king. He's no longer a servant. He's way up there. You lift up this servant, you lift him up, pump him up, and he's year by year. He goes up higher and higher, and he goes all the way up there. Do you have a servant at home? Do you lift your servant up high? And in the end, the master moves into the maid's quarters, and your servant will move into the master bedroom? Do you want to do that? Do you do that? Do it like that? Is that what you do in your house? No? Why are we like this in the church? Oh, this is a serving one. Oh, you lift this person up. So what? Well, he should be serving because he's a servant. Why do we have to lift up people who serve God? You are also a serving one. If you would say, if you were to say, oh, the servant of the Lord is here, I would ask you, aren't you one? I'll ask Brother Lay, are you not a servant of the Lord, or are you the master here? Are you the master, or are you the servant? Of course you are a servant. So we are companions, we are co-workers, we are servants. Who is higher and who is lower? Brother John. Truly? With the lips you say, we're the same. Do not be like that. It damages people. Oh, the big apostle is like that. And so are his disciples, or his apprentices are also like that. After they have learned of their master, they also want to be the king. It's too bad. Then the real master has no position anymore. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. We are all servants. Now, since we're servants, the most important thing is to submit to the Lord. If a servant does not listen, I don't know if he's a person, if he's a servant. If you do not listen to your master, are you still a servant? You want to be equal to your master. You don't just want to be equal to your master, you even want to be higher than the master. Do you think I'm joking here? Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Here it doesn't say that until he hears us. And it does not say that until he directs us. And it's not until he tells us what to do. It's until he shows us His mercy on you. He can do whatever He pleases because He's the Master. He has mercy on whom He has mercy. We all need the Lord's mercy. Do not think that when you pray, then the Lord listens to you and then He has to follow you. We all need His mercy. Because we do not have the qualification. We do not have the position. What status do you have? You have the status of a servant, of a maidservant. So the Lord wants you to wait, you just have to wait. What do you want to do? You want to force Him to tell you? And if He doesn't want to tell you, then what? So you have to wait for His mercy. We are too proud. You think that the Lord is indebted to you. Don't think that the Lord owes you. You are the one who is indebted to Him. Did the Lord not say? If a servant has done all his work well, when he comes back, do you still want the master to say thank you to you? The Lord said, okay, I owe it to you. Then the Lord said, after you're done with the work, you have to say, oh, you see, I did such a good job. The Lord, you have to appreciate what I did. Without me doing such a work, where would you have your churches? What do you have to say? I am a useless servant. Really so? Oh, I'm a very great and faithful and good and capable servant. You see, Lord, you see I did such a good job. Is this how it is? Then the Lord still owes it to you. You think the Lord owes it to you? The Lord owes you? You should say, I'm a useless servant. I'm really useless. That is why, brothers and sisters, you have to learn. You have to come to this level. This is a higher level. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. We truly need the Lord's mercy. If it were not for the Lord's mercy, would you be sitting here today? Would we know the church? Truly so. Who are we? If it's not the Lord's mercy, if the Lord did not have mercy on us, we don't know where we would have landed. Perhaps we're still locked up in some place where we think we're gods. It's God's mercy. The fact that we can still have the freedom to seek Him in a good way, to pursue Him. Is this not God's mercy? It's not something that you can take for granted. Here it says, have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have endured no end of contempt, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. Now, let me tell you, who are these two verses talking about? have you been despised and by the enemy to the extreme? Have you suffered that? Have someone looked at you in such a contemptuous way? These two verses speak of our Lord Jesus. While he was on this earth, he was despised by man. He was scorned and ridiculed by people. The enemy, if the enemy had the ability, the enemy would have swallowed him alive. Of course, on one hand, it also refers to our flesh. But on the other hand, it also refers to the powers of darkness, to Satan, to the evil spirits. Don't think that they would just allow you to build up your church in such a nice way. In whatever way the enemy dealt with the Lord Jesus, in the same way today, they're there ready to destroy the church. We are foolish people. We've been fooled many times. We've been deceived. And we've been utilized by the enemy to destroy the Lord's church. You think you're building up, actually you're tearing down. Isn't this the case? That's why the Lord has to have mercy on you. That is why in Psalm 123, the help that we need from the Lord is a continual help, non-stop. God's help and God's salvation has to continue to increase. It says, we have endured no end of contempt. It's already to the extreme. And also the ridicule from the arrogant. Oh Lord, there should not be any pride in the church. The arrogant ones. In English, there's also the word that means complacent. In the New King James, it says the scorn of those who are at ease, the complacent ones. They're neither hot nor cold. If there's nothing, they make it into a big problem. And if there's a problem, they consider it as no problem. Oh, it's okay like this, it's okay like that too. How do you look at the church? You have everything here. You're complacent. You don't care about anything. Are you like this? Are you like this in the church? Do not be like this. On the other hand, there's the arrogance, the pride. That's not good. Do not be proud. Do not think you're so great. Let's take a look at the proud people. Let's just go to Psalm 138. Lord Jesus. In verse 6, though the Lord is on high, Of course, he is the highest. He is seated in the on the throne in the heavens. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. Don't think that the Lord cannot see this. He can sight a proud person from afar. So do not be proud. The Bible says the Lord God resists the proud. Are you proud? Who are you? You think that because you have money and you can be proud, where does your money come from? So what if you have money? That's why our God knows from afar. Do not think that he does not know. Why does God know from afar? Because God hates the proud. Let's take a look at Psalms. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's take a look at verse 21. Verse 34. Right. It's not 24, but it's 34. Verse 34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. So do not laugh at others. Do not ridicule others in the church. And do not look down at the brothers and sisters. If you look down at others, you know, much more would God look down on you. If you don't want God to look down on you, you do not laugh or be scornful at others. Do not despise others. Because God gives grace to the humble. You want to receive grace from the Lord? Learn to be humble. We have nothing. We are nothing. We are a pathetic people. And let's go on to take a look in chapter 6. Chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16. Beginning with verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. You have to remember, there are six things. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. You have to pay attention. What's the first thing? What's the first thing? A proud look. God hates the proud. When God sees this, he wants to spit you out. That's the first thing. A proud look. You think you're better than everybody else. you're proud. You should never think that you're better than others in the church. God's word says you should look at others as stronger than yourself. That they are better than yourself. If you laugh at others, you ridicule others much more. He would also look down on you. Besides, he really hates them. The second thing is a lying tongue. Do not be like this. Let's just talk about these two. For the other five, you can go read for yourself. Do not be proud. Do not be proud. Because if you're proud, you will look down on others. Do not be like this. We say that we're in the spirit. How do you have to be in your spirit? If you're in life, you're in spirit. What is the expression? If I say, I'm in the spirit, but yet I'm still so proud, I look down at others. Oh, all the others are wrong and I'm right. Brothers and sisters, all no good. I'm the good one. If you're like this, what, I don't know what kind of a spirit you are in. You know there are all kinds of spirits. There's so many spirits. You know, John and James told the Lord, it says, Lord, should we pray to ask the Father in heaven to send fire down to destroy these people? And the Lord said, even the Lord was surprised. You don't know what kind of a spirit you have. That's why oftentimes people say, oh, we're in our spirit. We're in our spirit. And I'm surprised. I don't want that kind of a spirit. That kind of a spirit might send fire from heaven to burn you up. Do you have that kind of a spirit, a kind of a fierce spirit? So fierce, if that's in the spirit, I don't know whether I dare to be in the spirit. Let's continue in the next session. May the Lord have mercy on us. Learn well. Our spiritual experience has to ascend and it has to change. Do not stop. Do not be at a standstill. Brothers and sisters, do not think that we're having some kind of a conference here. I have no burden for conferences. May the Lord shed light upon us and save us. Help us. Amen.